Time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
People have been saying there are too many mutual funds since the 80s. For all the talk of smart beta, they haven't pulled in huge assets. The active managers are showing up in the ETF space.
Laura, so we now have a temporary deal on the government shutdown, and we'll see what happens here over the next 3 weeks or so. But regardless, this has impacted the world of ETFs, especially new ETF launches. And you wrote a nice piece on this last week at ETF.com. I know there's a lot of regulatory nuance here, but high level, can you explain what's happened, why this has been an issue?
Sure. So the Reader's Digest version is that during the shutdown, issuers can make filings, they can make proposals. They just can't expect any of those filings to be reviewed or approved or anything. You can't even really expect to get anybody on the phone at the SEC about your filings because legally the SEC employees weren't allowed to check their voicemail or check their phones or check their emails. So what that means is that ETF issuers, they can propose new funds, they can propose big changes to their existing funds and so on and so forth. But if any of those proposals would require the SEC's stamp of approval, then they sort of exist in limbo while the SEC was closed. It's kind of like that I Love Lucy sketch in the candy factory where the conveyor belt's going and the candies just keep on piling up. I mean, that's essentially what happened. So now that the SEC has reopened its doors, they can start going through some of these filings again, and they've said that the way they're going to prioritize it is just in the order that things were filed. But it's going to take them some time to get through the backlog.
Let me ask you this. So I was looking over the weekend, and there have been 18 new ETF launches so far this year. How did those get through the hopper if nobody was home at the SEC?
That is a good question. So it's interesting because we had, of those 18 funds, some of them were they were new ETFs from new issuers, and some of them were new ETFs from existing issuers. And there are actually two separate pipelines there at work. But let's start with the new ETFs with the new issuers. To launch a new ETF as a new ETF issuer, you need what's called the exemptive relief. And that is essentially just a permission slip from the SEC to sort of go around some of the provisions in the law in order to launch your own ETF. So that, of course, requires the SEC approval. That wasn't going to happen during the shutdown. So no new ETF issuers were going to get exemptive relief during the shutdown. So how did these funds come to launch? Well, it's because these new ETF issuers already had exemptive relief in their back pockets, and so their funds were sort of already in the pipeline to getting there. So if you already had existing exemptive relief, if you already had an existing trust in place and approved, then from there, the process to launch funds becomes fairly automatic. It's like a 60 or 75 day waiting period after you file for a new ETF. It automatically becomes approved. It's kind of like, it's kind of like the conveyor belt again at the grocery store or at the candy factory, right? So, the hardest part is actually getting your ETF onto the belt. But once the belt is in motion, then it just proceeds automatically to that checkout. So that's how these funds came to launch during the shutdown. If the shutdown had continued, we would have potentially started to see a real slowdown in the number of new ETFs that would come to market.
I think you may have alluded to this in your piece, but given what you just described, is it possible for an ETF issuer who has that exemptive relief to maybe sneak something through when the SEC is shut down? In other words, is there sort of an end around where legally a new ETF can be launched, but without the full blessing of the SEC, maybe something a little bit more controversial?
I mean, legally, sure. But, the SEC isn't stupid, and issuers aren't stupid either. Like, they know that the moment the government reopens, if they manage to squeak through these controversial ETFs through this automatic process on a technicality, the SEC, the first thing they do when they open their doors is going to be review these funds that launched. And I think that, you know, the SEC would review a fund that you tried to launch on a technicality, and if they find that you forgot something, or if something doesn't pass legal muster, or if something's not investor-friendly, they're going to ask you to make revisions. Potentially, they could even ask you to pull the funds. Like, it could be a very costly mistake on your end in terms of legal fees and new disclosures and so on and so forth. So I don't think anybody really wants, from the SEC side or the ETF issuer side, everybody kind of wants to play by the rules, because it could be very costly if you didn't.
All right. So on this topic of more controversial ETFs, you knew I was going to ask you about Bitcoin ETFs, right?
Of course.
Van Eck had this filing out there that the SEC actually had a hard deadline to make a decision on by the end of February. So this was for Cboe to list the Van Eck Solidex Bitcoin Trust. And there was some debate about what might happen if the SEC didn't rule on this because of the government shutdown. Technically, if the SEC did nothing, I believe this thing would have been automatically approved. Now, the consensus was there was no way the SEC would let that happen, right? They would just have their skeleton crew issue a brief denial letter. But as it turns out, Cboe preempted all of this by withdrawing the filing. If you don't mind, I want to play a couple of clips here. The CEO of Van Eck, Jan Van Eck, was on CNBC's ETF Edge last Wednesday. Take a listen to this. This starts with Bob Pisani.
You're one of the people that has a Bitcoin ETF application out with the SEC. You told us this morning you're going to be withdrawing that application. It was up for a thumbs up or thumbs down within the next month. Can you tell us why you withdrew the application?
Yeah, so technically, well, you know, the SEC is affected by the shutdown. So we were engaged in discussions with the SEC about the Bitcoin-related issues, custody, market manipulation, prices, and that had to stop. And so instead of trying to slip through or something, you know, we just had the application pulled. And we will refile and reengage in the discussions when the SEC gets going again.
All right, and then quickly, Bob Pisani followed up with this as well.
But I want to clarify about why you pulled the application. You're not saying you pulled the application because SEC is closed necessarily. I mean, they were very concerned and have expressed their concerns about the inability to solve the custody problem, as well as the fact that most Bitcoin's priced overseas where they don't control it. Those are still major issues. I think you faced the prospect they would have turned you down anyhow, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. But we think we actually have pretty solid answers to those, but we just need to really demonstrate it very, very clearly and convincingly to the regulators. And we were trying to do that, but we obviously can't have meetings while they're shut down.
All right, Laura. So as Bob pointed out, and I think Jan clearly agrees, the chances of the SEC approving that Bitcoin ETF were obviously extremely slim. But what I wonder about is just how much the shutdown has set back this entire process, right? Because there hasn't been that dialogue occurring with the SEC. It just seems like we could easily be waiting until, I don't know, 2020 for any sign of a Bitcoin ETF. Any thoughts on this? I know you've covered the Bitcoin ETF saga very closely.
Jeez, can you imagine 2020, a presidential election and a Bitcoin ETF? That would be quite the combo. I should first say that Cboe is our parent company at ETF.com, so just throwing that out there. But, you know, the other, you know, aspect I keep coming back to is when Jan said that, you know, they were going to refile, right? So this is not the end of the road. Nothing definitive was decided here. It was just the issuer saying that, you know, the SEC, you know, the conversation stopped and we want to continue having that conversation. And, you know, the only way to do that is to pull the filing and then refile. So, you know, to your question about whether this gums up the works a little bit, yeah, absolutely. This is going to take some time to you know, whether it gets to be another, you know, several months or another year, who knows? I don't have that crystal ball. But absolutely, this is going to throw a wrench into the works in terms of getting that dialogue restarted and getting the legal procedures in place. It's just, it's going to be, we get to wait some more. We get to wait even more for a definitive answer to the Bitcoin ETF question, which But I don't think we're at the end, right? Like, I don't think we've seen the end of the race for the first Bitcoin ETF. There's too much money in being that first mover, and in cryptocurrency in general, everybody wants to be that. So, you know, maybe we might see some more refilings from some of the other folks. I don't know. Again, don't have a crystal ball, but absolutely, this does gum up the works, so to speak.
Yeah, I think I saw something last week that Bitwise's Bitcoin ETF filing, the SEC's clock hasn't even started on this filing because it has yet to be published to the Federal Register, right, because of the shutdown. So
who knows
how this will all play out. Laura, excellent insight as always. Appreciate you joining us. We'll chat again soon.
Always glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
That was ETF.com's Laura Krieger.